Since last April 16th, Korea has suffered for the accident of ferry named Sewol continually. Still, there is a work for finding the dead bodies in the water. One thing, during this painful period, one man, a son of one renowned politician, said, "Because the Korean is not civilized, Korea is uncivilized." Based on one event that the parents of the children, I mean the student, gathered together and they complained something like the process of rescue was very slow. They complained. Based on the fact, this one man, 19 years old, he complained this. Korean is not civilized. The politician apologized this matter soon after that. I think the politician failed to raise his child in right way or right perspective. He should correct his son right away, I believe. You know, and the Korean in South Korea, they believe so. Saint Augustine was an important figure in Christian history, as you know. But he was not always good. He was a bastard before 32 of his age. During that time, his mother, Monica, prayed for him without stopping. Later on, Augustine, in his book, Confessions, recognized his mother and her prayer for him. He also recognized God's grace through her prayer. So he revealed two things. One is the prayer, and it's important. And the other is God's grace as the foundation of the prayer. So these two cases tell us that the education is very important. But not the education alone is important matter for raising people, raising children up in the right way. Rather, prayer is important, right? So prayer, we cannot overstate that the prayer is important for raising our children in the right way. But, you know, Augustine said, without God's grace, the prayer is nothing. Even though we pray for a long time, if there is no grace of God in our prayer is nothing. Because if God would not respond to our prayer, the prayer is just prayer out there, not in Christ. That's why. So we can get those kind of things from these two episodes. Today's text tells us how to raise our children. We call it, actually in South Korea, Children's Lord's Day. To think about our children in Christ or outside Christ, whether or not, doesn't matter. We should raise our children in the right way. We may consider in this specific day. But this message, I believe, is not just for little ones. So if your children are already grown up, so married, and have more, you know, have children too, you have grandchildren or great children, doesn't matter. I believe if we are alive on earth, that our prayer should be continued until we die for our children. So this message is for all of us, not just for young married couple, but also for aged couple or anyone here in this worship service, including me. This message tells us prayer is important, but I would tell you from this text, the more important fact than, you know, the normal fact like prayer is important for raising our children the right way. So with these two facts about childship and fatherhood between our, you know, between ourselves and, you know, between our children and us, or between our Heavenly Father and us, those kind of a relationship, we will think more to find out the better and powerful message from this text. So I hope we can get that message from this text. As you can see, these texts are very long, but it's very simple message. So I just point a little bit important factors in this passage, just a little bit, to find out the real meaning of this passage. Actually, if you look at verse 1, Samuel was young, right? And if you look at verse 2, Eli was old. The opposite thing we can find. Eli was old, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Two sons were young, but they were bad. So we will see more about that. Old Eli was out of God's control. Means he decided to discard him out of his position as a priest. Rather, he chose Samuel. So he wanted to appoint Samuel as the priest before him and Israel. So we could find those things in this text. Old Eli and young Samuel. It's not related to the ages. The things happen there. But we can find one more thing is here. It's curious. Why did Eli sleep in his own place? Because he was priest. But think about verse 3. Samuel, the young man, he was sleeping in the temple of the Lord. It's curious. I believe if he was the real priest, he believed that his place should be the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Or if he want to keep his place, his own place for his sleeping, that he should say, you should go to your place to sleep, and I should go to my place to sleep, and let's get together in the morning and serve God that way. But he left Samuel in the temple. It implies God already chose Samuel as his servant, and he already decided to kill Eli the priest because of his sin. We can see more later on. So verses 4 to 6, God called Samuel two times, as we read. And then Samuel didn't know that God was calling him two times. But so verse 7 said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord and his word too. 8 to 9, God called him again third time. But he went to Eli, and Eli noticed that God called Samuel. So Eli gave him sort of an instruction. This is the way to respond to God. Speak, Lord, in verse 9, for your servant hears. So Samuel went to his place. And verses 10 to 14 test that Samuel responded in the way, and God gave him the message, the first message. It's not good news. It's bad news about killing Eli and his two sons because of their sins. If you look carefully, verses 10 to 14, God already told this matter to Eli, the priest, through another person. So God said, he knew that I decided to take him out of his position and kill him and his two sons. Why? Because he has two sons. They serve as priests, but they blaspheme God, as Bible said. Means God was degraded by them. So God was displeased with his two sons called priests, not real priests. But God pointed one more thing. That is, Eli, you knew that, but you didn't change it. You didn't teach them. You didn't push them. You didn't take them out of the wrong way. You just let them go. That's why I wait for a long time. I decided to kill you and your two sons. That is a decision based on their sin. I mean, the text. So verses 15 to 18 tells that Eli in the morning asked Samuel to tell everything that God told you. So, you know, I believe this is very hard for the young Samuel to deliver not good news, but bad news. It's sad news. It's dreadful news to Eli. But he did that. The first deliverance of the message. And then from that moment, 19 to 20, till Samuel became the priest God appointed. So the whole Israel, the people in Israel, they believe God appointed Samuel as the priest for them. That is the text. According to chapter 4, the family of Eli was collapsed in one day as God decided today. We can imagine that Samuel might be different from Eli because he delivered this message of God to Eli, right? Samuel delivered this message. He knew that Eli, as a father, he failed to raise his children up in the right way. Because of that fact, God punished Eli's family. So he delivered that message. So we expect what? Samuel would be careful to raise his children up in the right way. Right? According to chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, verse 3, let me read it for you. Yet his sons, Samuel's sons, not Eli's sons, okay? Samuel's sons did not walk in his way, but turn aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. This is not expected result, unexpected, because we believe Samuel tried to do his best to raise his children in the right way because he saw the dreadful moment. He delivered dreadful message to Eli, and he saw everything after that. So I believe he tried to raise his children up right way. But why this thing happened? His two sons, they did not walk in the right way as their father did and turn aside. And then they follow the bribes and perverted justice. Cannot imagine. So we can see that based on this fact, to follow God is not given naturally or in family line. Also, we can see that this kind of a continual faithful life would not be done by education alone. In the Bible, we can find God wants us to chastise children to be raised up well, based on like Proverbs 13:24. But we know that this chastisement is not perfect way for raising children up well. In the Bible, we can find two opposite cases. One is related to Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4-5. The very important essence of the message of God is Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Nowadays, the Jewish people, they memorized it until their age, you know, young age. And they tried to educate it with the Bible. But we saw that in the Bible, they failed to keep the word of God in their life. They tried to follow their way, and they taught the word of God. We could expect what? They would be right. Good, always be for God. But what happened in the Bible? No, they turned aside. Turn away from the right way. And I have one more example. That is King Josiah, the fourth king from the end of the king, the lineage, like in Judea. Josiah was good king. But his father, Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, were bad king. They're sinful kings. Then, how could Josiah could be the right king before God? And how about his three sons? His three sons were turned away from Josiah's way. They were sinful. Only Josiah, among, you know, five evil, sinful kings, he existed. How? Only one way we can answer this question. God's grace. Not human condition. God's grace. God just chose Josiah to recover the right way and taught his people right way. And God did not choose Manasseh and Amon and Josiah's three sons. He just chose Josiah. That's the right answer from the Bible. Not based on any human merit or any family background. No, never. So here we can see that the salvation of God for us is given to us by God's grace. It's very similar. God chose Josiah as his person. God chose us as his children by God, his own grace, not based on our merit. Very similar. So whether or not we are born to a faithful family, we are called by God as his children. This is the grace of God. If our family, our forefathers were not believers, but we are believers, so we could confess, this is the grace of God. Yes, right. But how about this? Our fathers, you know, forefathers were faithful to God. That's why I am faithful. That's wrong. That's totally wrong. So in both cases, we should say, like, I am saved by God's grace. By God's grace alone. If we are saved by God's grace alone, then what if we try to raise our children up? When we try to raise our children up, what is the most important thing? As Saint Augustine mentioned, God's grace was with my mother's prayer. That's why I became believer. Based on the fact, we should have same answer. What is your way, your wisdom to raise your children up? There are many specific things we may have. But the Bible did not touch the specific or detailed way, but gave us the principle. It's, of course, prayer. We should pray for our children. One more thing. We should ask God his grace for our children, as he showed us the grace to us in our life. That should be the prayer and its content. We can get this from this message. But one more thing before close, I want to share is, I will read it. It's Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This verse reveals the close relationship between God and us. Who is God? God is our Heavenly Father. And before God, who we are his children. If we have that relationship, father and sons and daughters relationship, and based on this word, we can find one important fact, that is the prayer. You know, we believe, yes, we should pray for our children, but we are not the person who should pray forever for others. And we have mediators. Jesus Christ in heaven, physically, and spiritually the Holy Spirit in us. As Romans 8:26 said, what does it mean? Sometimes we fail to pray when we raise our children. Even the moment, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are praying for us forever until the end of the world. So based on this encouraging fact, I would encourage you to keep praying for your children and keep praying for God's grace for your children from now on. Even your adult children, pray for them for living for the glory of God until their life, you know, end of their life. You know, that is the message I want to share with you today. God bless you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, yes, you are right. The things we have, the ways we have as we raise our children up are not perfect. We believe that. And based on this fact, Samuel failed to raise his children up in the right way too. So that's curious, but it's fact. So based on those kind of facts and other facts in the Bible, we found that the to raise the children up in the right way, it's not based on our merit, our experience, or any kind of background, but our prayer based on your grace. Father, let us keep this message in our heart and then try to follow this way based on the one more important fact that we are your children, so you are praying for us. So with that prayer, we are able to pray for our children, for educating them to live as your children in the world. Father, thank you for this wonderful message. We prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.